Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. I am back. It is me, Kelsey. I had a baby. Thank you so much to Carmen for holding down the fort last week. Carmen is also here. We are reunited. Carmen, hello. Say hello to our friends.
Hello, and I am Carmen, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
It is. Already doing great.
Hey,
I don't get any sleep.
can we, you know, I know that we don't usually do the whole banter and like the riffing thing.
Yes.
But can you just like, give us an update? Give us a little update on the little baby nugget, the little offspring, because here's the thing. This is medically relevant.
It is.
Babies are delivered in the show all the time.
I thought about asking all the doctors a million questions. And then I was like, they're busy. I shouldn't do that.
Excuse me, doctor, can I interview you, please? Can I just ask you a couple questions?
Yeah, I had a baby on Monday the 18th. I had a baby at 6 a.m. because my babies are born very early in the morning, which means that there's a full night of zero sleep prior to that, and then several months of little to no sleep after that. So that's fun, but it's all good. It was wildly different than my birth experience with Scarlett. I really thought it would just be the same for some reason, and it was not at all the same.
Really?
So that was fun. Well,
is it because
you
knew what you were doing this time around? Like you just had some sort of inclination?
No, I kept going to the hospital because I was like, I'm in labor. And they kept being like, yeah, you're like having contractions, but you can leave. And it was making me really mad. And I was like, well, I'm just not going to go back. I'm going to have this baby in the car because I'm not going to go back. And I was laying down texting your wife and I was like, I'm so mad. They keep telling me like, I don't know what's happening. And as I was texting her that my water broke, and then I said, disregard, my water just broke. And so then
I read that text. I saw that happen.
We had gotten back from the hospital and been home approximately 11 minutes and I laid down and my water broke. So then we had to get up and go back to the hospital, but they didn't send me home that time. So that was fun.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's borderline medical endangerment. But at least this time you didn't have to walk around the lake in downtown Orlando in a 1,000-degree heat. Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks.
So with Scarlett, my water, they had to break my water when I was 9 centimeters dilated. So the fact that my water broke was surprising. I didn't think it would. So it did. And then also with Scarlett, when I got to the point of actual pushing, which took a very long time to get to that point, I still pushed for like an hour and a half. And with Bennett, it took not that long to get to the point of pushing, like less than 3 hours. And then I pushed 4 times and he was out. And it was wild.
1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war and this baby is out.
It was just bonkers. It was very different, but good news. Got the epidural. That's what mattered to me. Got the epidural.
Is it true that you got 6 epidurals this time?
Ugh, no. I got one and it took a minute on the left side. Took a minute to kick in on the left side. I was very nervous that it wasn't going to take on the left side and I was going to feel half of labor and I did not want to, but it did kick in. So that was fine.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, it was just like everyone was fine. Everyone was healthy. So that was always a relief when everyone comes out nice and healthy and good to go. So
and handsome.
Just been hanging out. Yeah, he's real cute. He looks a lot like Scarlett did when she was born. And so Michael's parents say that he does look more like Michael than Scarlett did, which is fair because Scarlett only looked like me. It looked like I made her by myself.
Which, and he does, you know, is possible.
Yeah,
but
life
unlikely
finds a way. So yeah, so he looks a little bit more like Michael than Scarlett did, but mostly still looks just the same. So he's very small, very cute, very cuddly.
I love it. Yeah, so, I've very much. I have not looked at my snaps. Apparently, there are some baby pictures that exist in the Snapchat.
There's
world.
A lot.
but I it was like 2 o'clock in the morning the other night, and I was just like, hey. I'm going to guilt some of my best friends into sending pictures of their baby because I just don't see these pictures. And Jessica and I were both still up. It was like legit, like 1 or 2 in the morning. So we woke up that next morning with a plethora of just adorable pictures.
Yes, the pictures of him in the little like night shirt that you guys got him with his name.
Yeah. Ugh, so handsome. So thank you for sharing that. we've got a show to do.
Yes, it's been so long since we've done this. I forgot what Grey's Anatomy is.
I have not watched an episode for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, because we did this. We were like a week ahead, and then I had a baby, so you didn't watch one. So correct. Yeah, we were wild. Yeah, it was weird.
So just some insight, because we do text almost every day. But there was one point we were texting about what we're going to do. Like if we were going to go down to a show like once a month or something like that, which we're not. But we were going to do it to where we were just going to pick a random season and a random episode and just do it. And the first half of the episode is just me trying to figure out what happened to get to this point. Granted,
we're going
to
take like a D&D dice that has 20 sides because there's 18 seasons and just roll the dice to pick the season and then the episode.
Yeah. And we're not going to like Russian roulette that kind of shit. But we did think about it. We thought it would be fun for content. And here we are.
It would be fun, but it would also ruin the rest of the content. So we're going to keep doing the good, good. But thanks for still listening, guys. We see you. We appreciate you.
It's true.
Thanks for giving us grace while I had to take a small break to birth a child.
Giving us grace while you were out for a small break.
Yes. So shall we do this?
We shall. Let's do it. Let's jump right in.
Okay. So
at the 6 minute and 36 second mark.
Episode 39, the third episode of the third season. And it is called Sometimes a Fantasy, which is a song that Carmen will tell us about.
Yes. Sometimes a Fantasy is, actually, I knew this one going into this, so I was very excited. Song by the kid, Billy Joel. This was a single, actually, from the album Glass Houses. So this was released in 1980, and it reached as high as number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100. So it really didn't do well, like, internationally. Like, we have some other artists where they do well internationally, most notably, like, the Beatles. Just everything will chart across the world. Everyone loved the Beatles. But Billy Joel got to number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100 and then reached number 21 on the Canadian singles chart. So, really, really great song. I'm a big fan of it. Obviously, when you Sometimes a Fantasy, I was listening to this and I was like, okay, first scene into this episode, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. And it's just a devil's threesome with Meredith, Finn, and Derek. So not where I thought the rest of the episode would be going and taking me after that opening scene, but the song makes sense. And Billy Joel, we salute you. Big fan.
Do you have a favorite Billy Joel song?
Yeah, I think it's You May Be Right. It's one that we actually covered a couple of times as a band. And it's just it's one of those ones where it's like it's not cliche, it's not Piano Man, or it's not We Didn't Start the Fire, you know? Like the one that everyone's gonna know. But You May Be Right was one that the Billy Joel fans knew, and people are like, oh, I've heard this on the radio, I think. And they just start singing it, and it gets fun. But there was a while there we got randomly booked for like a string of country club golf courses and like six different Harley Davidson dealers. Like it was a weird time for Gallery 81. Cause we would go from like these punk rock shows at House of Blues to like a paid event at like a golf course the next day. So weird times, but really that's my favorite Billy Joel song. Do you have a Billy Joel song that's a go-to for you? Or are you not really a big Billy Joel fan?
I like him. I mean, I do enjoy Piano Man, especially when I'm at the Dueling Piano Bar. But
and naturally, I like,
Vienna. Vienna waits for you. That's a good
ooh,
one.
Ooh, sing it, child.
Ooh. Ooh. Ho, ho. Okay. Anyways, Grey's Anatomy.
That last one got into a little bit of Mickey territory.
Oh, unintentional. Okay, so this episode was written by Deborah Kahn, directed by Adam Arkin. It aired October 5th, 2006. and it had 22.8 million views. And
then it's that 3 a.m. yawn. 3 a.m.
newborn baby yawns.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you haven't slept in a week.
Almost exactly like that. Okay, so let me read the Netflix synopsis for us. Gotta clear my throat there.
Graceful.
Thanks. Christina helps Preston cope with his hand tremor. Izzy returns to the hospital for the first time since she quit the program. That's it.
So that's Christina doesn't do much to help.
Christina mostly is mad about Burke. And then Izzy is
slightly
also
slightly redeems herself at way the more, end.
This is way more like an Alex episode than anything else, I feel like.
Yeah, nothing about Alex being a good guy or Meredith trying to just fuck everyone and like
or George it's being annoying
or but oh gosh, fuck you, George. Not all the way, like, but you are kind of a dumb idiot. Also, yeah. Izzy doesn't return to the hospital. She's more like hospital
adjacent.
She
returns to the front of the hospital. She returns to in front of the hospital.
Yeah. She returns to the property at which the hospital sits on.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Granted, what an emotional experience. And she has a couple good dialogue interactions. But,
she does.
Yeah. She doesn't go back to the hospital. Get a life, Netflix.
Yeah, those Netflix synopsis, man, they're not good. I want to know the person who writes these. Is it a Netflix person? Is it like a show specific person? I need to know. Okay.
Maybe they have a contest and it's like hundreds of submissions and they get through the first three and they're like, okay, you know what? Why did we do this again? Like, Mr. Ronald Netflix, can you stop making these decisions?
Ronald Netflix. To be Ronald Netflix. That he's a rich man.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so let's do it. There was a recap this time.
Yes, there was. The only thing I got it I wrote down from that was Burke's arm, Derek versus Finn, Bailey failing Izzy. That's all I wrote down, like verbatim.
Yeah. So Burke's hand, Denny proposing, Izzy quitting, Derek and Addison break up, Derek, Finn, Meredith, and Callie moving in. Also, I just want to note, I wrote Burke's hand, which Carmen still thinks is fine.
It's fine. It's going to be fine. Give it two more episodes. Even though they said it takes weeks, months, or years to recover, give it one more episode in Shonda time.
Okay. We'll circle back to that prediction at the end of this one. Okay, so that's a recap. Okay, so yeah, like you mentioned already, we start with the obvious fantasy sequence. Meredith is in bed with Derek, and then Finn just pops up right behind her.
Derek just popped up too. Zoomed in, and she was by herself. But she had such a weird dialogue. At one point, she said it's all surgeon's fantasy about taking a hollowed out carrot and replacing a valve with a butter knife. What kind of fucking surgeon do you think you are?
MacGyver.
Even... Like, you're at a Buffalo Wild Wings and someone goes, quick, I need your carrot stick. I need to save this person's life.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be something kind of like the heart in the elevator thing where it's like just like a wild scenario where you're like, I can save anyone in any setting. Yep. Yawnsies.
Sorry. I had a yawn. Sorry.
I'm not going to do
more,
it.
I need more Buffalo Wings in my life, apparently.
Okay, so they're at the house. Callie's stuff is there. George is being super weird about it. He's super weird. Izzy says she's going to go with them to the hospital and talk to the chief about coming back. And then George is like, that's my towel. So Callie walks over and gives it to him. And I just love her so much. Because then he leaves and she's just staring at Meredith. She's like, wow, he's so cranky in the mornings.
Yeah, he needs to stop being a punk ass bitch. What the fuck? Like,
I just don't understand why no one on this show can ever communicate their emotions or thoughts or desires with anyone else on this show.
Other than Meredith. Like, not Meredith herself. They just say it to Meredith. They're not telling the actual people. Okay, listen. Again, I'm not saying that Callie is my number one. But George, you do not deserve her. This is not the first time that she has just gotten naked or topless in front of you, and you don't do shit.
He just literally, like, gets annoyed and walks away.
Like, Jessica could have gotten off like the toilet naked, and I'm still gonna be like, oh dang girl, okay. Like,
but what if you hadn't invited her to the toilet?
I'd still be like, okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so
I'd be like, yo, I know. I like to do this. I like to do this thing now. So Jess has vertigo, postpartum vertigo, and yes. I like to do this thing where I wait until after she's done puking, and I go, so like, you trying to smush or what? And she just looks at me like she's actually ready to just dump the vomit onto my face.
You do love the vomit. The vomit turns you on.
It's just so funny. And I have such a hard time being empathetic when I'm dying laughing.
Yeah, that tracks. Okay, so Mark and Addison are in the hotel room. And Mark's like, oh, I don't have to leave. And Addison's like, no, you super have to leave. Go away, please. And then she goes to the hospital. And
no, she doesn't.
Mark Sloan is so attractive.
She doesn't go to the hospital. He jumps her bones first.
Well, yes, but she's trying to go to the hospital. Ultimately, she goes to the hospital.
Should we be concerned at how forceful that was? Like, are we supposed to be happy with that? I don't actually understand.
I think they have a interesting dynamic, and they are both very pretty people.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thoughts I have.
He's a good-looking guy. I'm not going to say that he's not.
So true.
He's no Patrick Dempsey hair looking ass, but
I could not disagree. He is so much more attractive than Patrick Dempsey.
No. Specifically his hair.
Oh, okay. But like Patrick,
I said, he's yeah. I think he's got a. I don't know. That's tough. Can I come back to that in a couple episodes?
This is probably like a split thing. Honestly, like if you polled the fans, you'd probably get split on 50-50. Who's more attractive. I don't know if it would be 50-50, but I do feel like it would be pretty close. But yeah, a lot of people think Derek's the most attractive, and that's their business. It's their right to be incorrect, because Mark Sloan's obviously the most attractive.
We can all agree that Finn is nowhere near either of them.
Finn has nice hair.
I mean, it's fine.
He has a nice face. He's like he's too like preppy, I think, for me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're just like a preppy. He's attractive. He's just not. Mark Sloan, man, that's where it's
Mark's
at
got
for
a
me.
Dangerous side. Mark's the kind of guy who you're going to slap him like you do in the end of this episode, and he's going to be like, yeah, put me on the 22nd floor
Mark's,
right next
like,
to this
like when
bitch.
when they have like a tight shot on his face and he smiles, I'm like, hot damn. That is nice.
All right, so you heard it here first. We're doing a poll. Go to our Instagram and go to @ Grey's Academy Pod, and let Kelsey know, because she's the only one who has access to it. Who do you like more, Mark or Derek?
I'll put it on our stories for 24
yes.
hours. So it'll
there
be
you
there.
Go. Vote or die.
Okay. So then we go to Burke and Christina's house. Burke is home. He's not at the hospital. He is very obviously grumpy about his situation. Christina is trying to like not be super Christina-y about it and be like supportive and not yell at him like she probably normally would. But she clearly doesn't know how to act, but she's trying, which I appreciate. And then we're at the hospital. Izzy's wearing the Denny sweater again. It's very sad. Callie's like, hey, can I have a house key? And George is like, no, you cannot. It's awkward and weird.
I was watching that and he was like, oh, I should get like, you know, we leave work early, just make me a key. He's like, no, I love when we leave work at the same time. You don't need a key. Like a dumb punk bitch, like a toddler.
Yeah, the worst.
Little asshole.
Izzy does not go in. But we do get to see a nice moment between Bailey and the chief talking about Izzy coming back. And it's a nice back and forth. I will say, Bailey says she didn't commit a crime, which I don't necessarily agree with, because I think she did commit a crime.
Multiple crimes.
She, at the very least, she falsified the situation. Like, she made him get worse to steal the heart.
Right.
I don't think she is at fault for his death because it was a stroke. However, I also don't think she is blameless.
Well, it's also, so here's the thing. When she's like, why does everybody want her back in there? before she goes in, they're all like, oh, you're going to do great. Like, oh, welcome back. Like, oh, go knock it out of the park. Guys, she fell in love with a patient. She falsified evidence and fraudulently came across a living person's a heart that was going to go to someone else. So that this guy that she knows on a very surface level who proposed is going to now get this heart. Guys, none of this sits right with me. I am not Team Izzy anymore, okay? Why do you want her back? And then Bailey's like the Bailey and Weber interaction, it ends up with her basically saying, like, it's my fault. She didn't commit a crime. It's on me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Shut up, Bailey. She just let her out of your life, cut her loose. And then there's that exchange where Weber stands up and he's like, oh, that's what I'm going to do? And she's like, oh, yes. And then he says, being the boss isn't as gratifying as it used to be. And she goes, no, sir. And he goes, get out of here. And then she runs away. And it's a funny interaction.
I love their dynamic.
Guys, we don't need Izzy back. We're better off without her at this point. She will kill again. She's had the taste of blood.
She will kill again. She will fall in love and murder again.
Yes. She's a serial romantic murderer. She's like the Haunted Mansion.
The bride in the Haunted Mansion? Or just the Haunted Mansion?
She's like she's the whole house.
She's specifically the stretching room.
Yeah, she's the Muppets version, though. Actually, no, she's not. The Muppets version's way, way better than what Izzy is.
So true. The Muppets Haunted Mansion was so good. Okay, anyways. Okay, so Christina is annoyed about Burke's attitude, and she's complaining to Meredith. And then they're waiting for the elevator. Derek brings Meredith coffee and asks her out. And I just love, I don't know if you can really see it, Christina in the background. She's like rolling her eyes very hard.
Oh, yeah. I had to watch that scene like 3 times.
So good. And then Finn gets off the elevator and brings Meredith a coffee cake and also asks her out. And Christina's like, oh, so you're just having sex dreams about everybody now. So good for you. She's just when I thought you're boring.
Yeah. You. What does she say? What was it? Just when I think you're boring, you rise. but it was funny, though. I think the best part of that interaction is Derek at one point turns to Christina and's like, that's casual enough, right? And she like actually agrees and she's sitting there rolling her eyes. She's like, oh, yeah. It's just funny. And then fucking Finn. Focus. Both of them. Fuck both of them.
But Finn's Meredith fine. Too. I'm just like, it's, you know, you're just, it's fine.
I want to see them all fail. I want to see them all fail. Except right now, after this episode, I'm like, okay, Christina, you're winning me back a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Because I was mad at her for a while because of how she treated Burke. And
she was so nice and she got naked for him last time.
I know. That was great. She's winning me back slowly. Get naked. Listen, everyone out there listening, man or woman, just get naked. Just do it.
Do it for yourself. Do it for someone else. Do it for Grey's Academy. You know,
yeah, do it for us.
You don't have to message tell us or show us. Okay,
no,
well.
Tell us when you are naked, but don't show us that you're naked.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us either. It's fine. We'll just all take a moment right now and we'll just all understand that everyone's naked.
Pause this podcast.
We're happy for you.
Get naked. And then when you're done getting naked, resume and we will sit all naked together. We're both naked right now.
Yeah, if you're at work, don't do that. Unless you work from home, then go for it.
Just make sure you don't have any calls set for Zoom later on.
I just don't know how we do this, how we get here. It's fine.
I don't know.
Let's keep going.
All right. Anyways, so Alex
comes up and he's running late and he sees Izzy. He's like, oh, you're gonna be blah, blah, whatever. And then just goes inside. Bailey's dishing out the assignments. George is annoyed because Callie requested him and he's like, I hate my girlfriend. Alex is supposed to be back with Addison and he's still being snarky about it, but then she gets a call, so he goes to the ER and he's all excited about it. And this
did
is
Addison
when,
change her hair?
I don't think so. I mean, she changed it from last episode where she was wearing a bucket hat.
That's fair. That's a good call out. I did notice that. But it looks like her hair is a little bit less red than normal. It looks a little brown blonde. Okay. Thanks. All right. Maybe I'm going crazy. It's been a long time since I've watched
this
true. Show.
It's true. I it's almost forgot what she looked like. Looked at her.
Yeah. It was funny though when Alex was like, "Isn't this getting old for you?" And she's like, "It literally makes my whole day." Like that's funny. That's funny, Addison. You're hilarious.
I love her. So this is when he goes to the ER and we meet Megan, the oh my God, what's her name?
The Supergirl, the
Abigail Breslin. Girl. Thank you. Oh. Thank you. Abigail Breslin. Yeah,
you're welcome. I'm happy
the
to
famous
help.
Child. So yes, Abigail Breslin, which is a pretty famous person. I mean, at this point, I'm pretty sure Little Miss Sunshine had already come out. So she was already medium famous at this point when she's doing this. So good for them. So they say the nurse is like, "Oh, she's been here 4 times in 2 months or something absurd." Like, you know, it's shady basically. So she's a foster kid. She, the parents seem very nice, but but they're like on edge 'cause they know that it looks bad that she keeps being in the ER. She's like, I can't feel pain. Like I can't be hurt. No one can hurt me.
Punch me in the stomach.
Yeah. And then, we cut to Christina working with Derek on a patient who has seizures, and he and his wife clearly disagree on this treatment, but they have a baby. So he wants to get this surgery so he doesn't have the seizures anymore, so he can take care of his baby. But the wife is obviously very like hesitant because it's brain surgery. And then they go back to the ER and Alex is, like, "I don't believe that this kid doesn't feel pain." And though she pulls staples out of her arm with her teeth, which she also shot in her own arm, the staple
right.
gun.
Yeah.
Concerning. I don't care for it. It's gross. So he calls Child Protective Services and Bailey's like, "Oh, do the cold pressure test with the ice water. While you wait." And then Callie's like, "George, you're so weird this morning." George is like, "No, I'm not. It's just a weird time. It's, the mornings are weird. And there's just so many people. There's so many people in the house. It's just like so many people." I'm like, "Oh my God, George."
Like,
up.
"George, just say what you mean." Oh my gosh. Is that the same scene where he's like, "Oh, it's just, you know, the sunlight. Ugh."
Yes.
Like it's the morning.
It's day.
It's, oh my gosh. Imagine someone being like, "Ugh, blah, the sunlight. Ugh, kill
That's
me.
You though. You do that. You don't like okay. the sunlight.
Only when it's the morning time.
Only when it's out. Then
only
I
when it's so crowded in the house and I trip over the boxes.
So then they meet the patient and they're like replacing his ankle joint because he's like an aggressive athlete. And they just, I don't know. He's had lots of surgeries. And for some reason, that's offensive to George. I don't know. Alex goes back to see Megan and they do the cold thing. And she's like, "It's not going to hurt me. Like nothing hurts me." And so they start it and then it cuts to Addison at Joe's with
Wait,
Mark.
You, I think you missed the title card.
Oh my God. You're right. I did miss the title card.
11:27, the title card. And right Thank before you. That, little Megan says she can't feel pain, calls Alex
superhero.
In and says, "I'm a fucking superhero." And at that point I thought she was a nut job, but then I was like, "Wait, but hold on."
She there might just James, be a kid and kids are she, dumb.
Yeah. I'm just a kid.
And life is a nightmare.
Sorry, I can't be perfect. Simple plan, everyone.
Everyone who heard that, that's our bad.
Yeah.
We saw sorry. Them live once. It was great.
It was
That's
great.
Not how they sang, but that's how we sing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so back to the part where the guy is getting, George is all up in arms about a guy getting surgery. It was interesting, though. I will say, like, I understand George's point. It seemed like the guy's surgeries weren't necessary. It was just, I'm going to physically destroy my body because I can afford to get it replaced. I want to be the bionic man. I want a new hip. I want new everything. I didn't even know they could replace an ankle. What the fuck? That's crazy. Like, they're just going to take a cast from another dude and just put it in there?
I guess so.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing though, because I'm like, I do understand Callie's point as well, because on the other end of it, people who need hip and knee replacements a lot of times are also destroying their body. But on the other side, where they're just like maybe not being active enough, not listening to their body's needs, and then like just getting into a position where they're like putting too much strain on their body on the other end of it by not. Yeah, I don't know. I see both sides, but I don't understand why George's immediate response is like, this is terrible.
Right. I get her point, and I understand her point. But like you just said, George, this person is paying the hospital a lot of money to do these surgeries. They know the risk. They're not getting their arm twisted to do the surgery. That's an elective surgery. That's literally why they have elective surgeries.
Yeah.
So the just people shut can the elect fuck up
to do them.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no. Sorry.
What's
I clicked
up?
On my, I just clicked on my notes wrong.
Got it.
God, I thought I was going to accidentally delete them all. Okay. That would be so bad. So Megan, So Addison goes to Joe's to meet Mark, and he's like, oh, I'm going to stay. And she's like, you skipped your flight. And he goes, says it was canceled. It's so stormy in New York. I'm so attractive.
Well, no, she's like, so there's attractive. Literally, there's 2 days a year. There's no clouds. Yeah. This is one of them. And he said, well, there's a typhoon in New York.
I
look
just
it up. I
so
dare
much.
You. I dare
I
you to Google
his
it.
Face. So
that's some shit I would do. I would say the truth, and I would say Google it because it's the truth.
You,
because I don't
you do
lie.
Do that. You do lie though. Anyways, so, oh yeah. So then they go back to, Megan and Alex, and he's like, pulls his hand out, and he's like, holy shit, like take your hand out before it falls off. And she's like, I can't feel it. And she's like, no one ever believes me. I have to let all the kids at school punch me so many times. And yesterday I had to let this kid punch me 25 times and once with a baseball bat. And he's like, what the literal fuck is happening with this child? That's insane. I'm concerned.
I just, can you imagine your kids at school and just, hey, Scarlett, go grab that baseball bat and just fucking whack me.
I'm just like, is no one monitoring these children? Why at school do they have a baseball bat? That seems alarmingly negligent.
What are you talking about? It's gym class. They have baseball.
Then if it's a gym class, then there should be a teacher.
There should be.
Who says, hey, A, stop punching her 25 times in the stomach, and B, no, you cannot now hit her with a baseball bat.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that the public school system in America is so underfunded.
It really is, and we do not have time to get into that, but we do appreciate all those teachers out there.
Yes.
We love you. We see you.
Hashtag
we appreciate
give,
you.
Give them a raise.
Please. Also, be nice to them, because they know what they're doing, and you probably don't, so that's my thoughts on it. Okay, so Christina is with Derek's patient, is talking to the wife, and she's like, oh yeah, recovery is like really hard on the caretakers. You know, like obviously her issues with Burke are coming out in the situation. She's like, they're like the silent sufferers. No one ever talks about them. Like, you need so much help. It takes so long. And like, everyone only cares about the patient, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like about to have a seizure. And then he does have a seizure.
I knew it. As soon as he held the kid, I read the note. I said, he's going to have a fucking seizure. I know it.
Yeah. But luckily, Christina catches the baby. Very nice. So Izzy still hasn't gotten inside. They just keep kind of cutting to her sporadically throughout the episode. Even when people, like, obviously we get scenes where other characters go and talk to her, but they also kind of just sporadically cut to her to show us that she's still outside and she's still sad.
His daddy's still dead.
And
yes,
I'm still yawning.
Yes, he is.
So Addison tells Mark to leave, and he's like, come back with me. And she's like, no. And then he just is like so attractive, and he's like touching her, and she's like, stop doing that, I can't think when you do that. And I'm like, girl, same, I just feel you so much. I literally wrote, he is so wildly attractive in my notes. I was distracted. I don't even really know what happened in that scene, because I was like, good god, this man is attractive.
Well, she slapped him, and then he's like, oh,
that is
yeah.
a good moment.
do it again.
Yeah. And then he does that smile and it's real tight on his face. And I'm just like,
yeah,
good for you.
And then she's walking away and she like has to look back like four times. And I'm like, listen, Addison, I get it. But like pick a lane. Just go fuck. Just do it.
They already did it. I do like when she says that she made a transcontinental booty call, which is delightful.
High level humor.
Okay, so Alex goes to Bailey and is like, we need to do a CT scan on Megan because she tells people to punch her in the stomach every 5 seconds. There might be a problem.
Why is that the shtick, right? Hey, look, I'm Megan. Punch me in the stomach.
I don't know.
Like, I imagine being on the showrunner team and they're just saying, hey, guys, we need this girl to ask people to hit her, but not the face. What do we think? And they're all like, maybe the foot, maybe her like butt cheek. And then someone's like, how about stomach? That's it. That's how
where
I
else?
Going
I mean,
down.
What else would she do to prove that she can't feel pain?
I don't
know, kids are dumb.
Punch in the arm. Punch in the
kids
arm or some
are
shit.
Dumb.
Well, yes, I understand that.
Okay, so George, this is when we really get into the George not thinking that Callie should do the surgery on the ankle guy. And she's just like, he's just going off about it to Alex and Christina and like how she moved in. And he's just the worst. It's fine. They're watching Meredith and Finn have lunch. And Christina and Alex are betting on whether or not Derek is going to show up and crash the date, basically. So Alex says that Derek is not going to interfere, and Christina says he absolutely is. And Christina is, of course, right. It's really funny, though, because before that happens, Christina is, like, narrating the date from far away, and Meredith is laughing, and Christina's like, oh, she's laughing. Ha 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 ha. Oh, you funny vet. And I just think that's hilarious. Because she just hates the fact that he's a vet. And Alex is asking George, he's like, hey, you're a loser. Like, what do you know about comic books? clearly before we have peaked, we have hit the MCU craze, because this is still in the realm of time when everyone just is like, only losers like superheroes, which A, was never really the case, but B, is definitely not the case anymore, because Marvel movies are just every 5 minutes coming out and making billions
of
dollars.
But all of his characters that he mentions were all DC characters. He mentions Batman, Robin, Green Lantern. He doesn't mention Marvel characters.
Well, I mean, it's because, you know, they weren't made wildly popular yet.
Right.
I mean,
no,
Batman and Robin, I feel like, are the most probably recognizable name-wise, even maybe still today. I could be wrong, but I would say
Superman,
that's probably
Batman.
Pretty recognizable, yeah. Green Lantern, I feel like, is a choice because that's not terribly well known, in my opinion. I know there was a movie. I am aware it was bad.
What are you talking about? The Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively cinematic masterpiece that was the Green Lantern?
That's the one.
Remember the Green Hornet with Seth Rogen?
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, me either. That's how bad it was.
Okay, so Derek shows up, and this is what I wrote. Derek shows up and is quite simply the absolute worst. He's being a turd.
True.
I have to cough.
True.
Please excuse me.
Yeah, totally. I will go ahead and take over and say something here. So Derek goes in. He kind of goes. He buys some sort of treat or something. Looks over snarky. And then he walks away. And then he does this thing. He's like trying to lull them into a false sense of security. Because you have to know that they know he's there. And then he comes back around. He comes back around as Alex is counting his money and hands it all over to Christina.
Yep.
And then uses the surgery like a bastard.
Yeah, he's the worst. He's like, oh, we have this really cool surgery that never, ever happens. And Meredith is like, when? And Finn goes, I'm going to guess right now, because he's not wrong. So Meredith goes with Derek, which is dumb because Derek's the worst.
But Kelsey, so the surgery. I have to do the surgery. I'm
it's
an
a
intern.
Once in a lifetime. I have so much to learn. And then Finn says, so do I.
Yep.
Then we see Izzy outside. Burke also comes. And he
Great
says,
scene.
Are you coming
really
or going?
Like
And she says, I don't know. And he says, me neither. And it's a very simple scene, but I have to agree, it accomplishes a lot. And it really gives us an insight into what both of them are going through right now. And it's a good moment. It's a good moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that. It's one of those scenes, and it doesn't happen a lot. It's one of those scenes where you're saying more through less. And it's just...
I agree.
And especially because, like, Burke was like, okay, shit, I have to get back because I know exactly what Izzy's doing. Like, Izzy's fucking shit up. I have to get back. And I don't know. There's just, like, this weird connection that they went through a similar loss together. Not just with Denny. Like, Burke went through a double loss. He lost his patient and he could be losing, which I don't think so, the loss of his hand mobility, you know?
Right, because his hand's fine, right?
It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Everything's fine. Okay, and so then, yeah, I agree. That's a good, very good, small, but heavy scene in a lot of ways. Derek has, she's like, okay, here's the patient, prep him. And she's like, what the fuck? I thought we were doing surgery. And he's like, well, you have to work too. So annoying. He just continues to be the worst. And then he's like, ooh, I'm a dick. See you at 8.
After the Christina, surgery.
Yeah, Christina sees Burke talking to the chief and she's like, looks like she's happy about it because I think she thinks that he's like saying he wants to come back, and she's like, yay, he's coming back, everything's gonna be great. And then Alex is putting Megan in the MCT and she tells the nurse to punch her in the stomach, and he says, stop telling people to punch you in the stomach. Thank you for saying it.
It needed to be said.
Bailey has paged Addison for a consult on Megan. So they're in there like waiting for the scans to come up, and they're talking about how this is a pretty rare genetic disorder, but it's normally diagnosed and caught pretty young, which makes sense to me. Someone who has a toddler who runs into everything and is always like, ow, ow, boo, boo, ow. I'm like, yeah, it tracks that you'd probably be able to diagnose this pretty early on. But because she is a foster child, maybe like bounced, they're saying basically since she's like bounced from foster home to foster home, it could have just kind of slid under the radar and no one really figured it out. So they also talk briefly about their time at Joe's when Addison was wasted, and it's very funny.
That's a good funny scene. I really enjoyed that interaction.
Yeah, it was good. It was like just enough to be like, okay, they're friends. I want more of them together.
I would watch an entire like Hangover style episode where it's just them and Adele.
With a tiger.
And Mike Tyson.
What do tigers dream of? Do you ever just like get that stuck in your head? I do. I get it stuck in my head all the time. Constantly.
No, I get the three best friends that anyone could have in my head a lot. I do think that
a lot as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so then her scans come up and like it's real bad. There's lots of internal trauma, probably from all the punches and the baseball bat.
And the fucking baseball bat.
So good times. So George sees Burke coming out of the chief's office and he's like, oh, we miss you. You're missed. And it's nice. And Burke goes, you know, Izzy's just standing outside, right? Like, can you do something about that? That would be great. So then Derek is operating with Christina and Meredith. And he's like, oh, I saw Dr. Burke talking to the chief. And Christina's like, yeah. And Derek goes, oh, so he's like working out his leave. And Christina's like, what? And she's like, oh, you know, the leave of absence that he's taking. And she's like, excuse me? So, again, really peak communication with everyone in this episode. Doing the most.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Love it when we tell our partners things.
Yeah. The fact that Derek breaks the news on the leave of absence, that just sucks.
Yes.
But before...
During
was it right?
The surgery.
Yeah. Right before that, though, we get this nice scene with George and Burke where you could tell... Did you say that already? Did you cut out on that? You did? Wow.
No.
Did you say that?
Yeah. I said that he's missed and then he's like, hey, Izzy's standing outside.
Oh, no.
Can
sorry.
You do something
I missed
about
that part.
It?
I was looking through my notes because I lost where I was, so I missed that part. I apologize. Oh. I'm like, where the fuck am I? Because I have so many notes. You see it. I'm scrolling here. Yeah. You don't even see. I have so many notes. Yeah, I like that. I miss them together. I miss them. Their jam sessions,
that's,
you know?
I will say, I feel like that's one of the times George is less annoying is when he's with Burke.
Yeah, because Burke brings out the better. Best in him.
That's because O'Malley's his guy.
You're my guy, O'Malley.
Okay, so then we get the George going to talk to Izzy, and we get a nice little speech about her thinking about bridal magazines and being a bride and all this stuff. And she just has a line that says, I just need to make sure when I'm standing in front of the chief of surgery that I'm not thinking about my wedding dress, which is just very sad. Again, this is another time where not on team Izzy, very low, lowest on the totem pole probably. And I just still feel for her. Which says, a lot to the writing and the performances. Because it's sad, you know, I feel sad for her. But I also am like, but, you know, don't steal organs.
Yeah, it's, these writers do a really great job of making her a villain that you can empathize with. Like Thanos. It's been a while.
Like Wanda.
Like Wanda
Maximoff.
I don't know. The Darkhold got really, really messed her up, you know?
Listen. Denny is Izzy's Darkhold.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. Now we're putting this.
No,
oh, shit.
It's all coming together.
So, who's Doctor Strange in this scenario? And also, more importantly, who's Wong?
Both fair questions. I want to say that Bailey is Wong because she is the one that actually gets shit done.
Yeah, yeah, Bailey's Wong. Oh, fuck, that's good.
And Derek is Doctor Strange because he thinks he's hot shit, but really he's just fucking shit up left and right.
Yeah, and he loves Meredith in every universe, unfortunately.
Ugh, so annoying.
You know what? Anyways. No, I'm Meredith, you're not better than Rachel McAdams. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, fuck, it doesn't.
Although they are
it.
Both surgeons, so yeah, I don't know. It might track. She's not better than Rachel McAdams, but she might be better than that than Christine's character. Because only, and I only say that because they don't really give Christine much of a personality in those films. She's just there.
Yeah.
Anyways, watch Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Now available on Disney Plus.
Very rapidly after. The theater time short on that one.
Yes.
Anyways, so now that we've gone on that tangent, George talks to Callie's patient and is like, oh, do you want to go meet your donor? I'm shitty. I'm going to talk you out of things. I'm going to pressure a patient, which is unethical. Okay, so then
no one ain't ready to have that conversation.
Addison and Miranda tell the parents that they're going to have to operate and do genetic testing to get a diagnosis. And they're like, I understand, like, it's been a bad day for you guys, but, like, you're just gonna have to trust us. This is what we need to do. She is ill and injured because of it. So that's when Alex is like, hey, so that kid's missing. good stuff. So they have to obviously try and go find her. Christina finds Burke and is like, excuse me. Are you taking a leave of absence? Could you maybe keep me informed on our lives together? That would be neat. We're in a relationship. And that's when we have the whole like, oh, the recovery time on this is measured in months or years. Like sometimes it's a success if they can even like bend their elbow or whatever he says. I don't know. And so he's clearly thinking the worst case scenario and she's thinking the best because she's like, well, you're Preston Burke. So like, that's not going to happen to you because you're better than everyone else, which it's nice that that's her belief system. You know, if it's nice that you see someone like that, you think so highly of someone that like, it doesn't even cross your mind that like that type of thing wouldn't happen to them. But he's clearly in a different headspace than she is about the whole scenario. So then George takes Jasper down to the morgue to see the guy. And he's like, this guy's so old. And George goes, well, he's 2 years younger than you are. So there you go. And then he just is really weird and pressures him. And then Jasper cancels the surgery and leaves. So that's fun.
And doesn't tell Callie beforehand because George's a little fucking worm.
Which I will say, I was thinking about it. I was like, as someone who was just discharged from the hospital, I feel like the doctor would know.
Yeah.
But a also, lot of like, shit that has to happen for you to leave a hospital.
They had such a good relationship. How do you feel okay walking away from that? And like, also, if you George, it's an elective fucking surgery.
Yeah.
Let the guy do it.
I don't understand why he's like dying on this hill. But we're going to take a small break now for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
me. Living in Shondaland.
Oh, that was beautiful. We didn't get that. I missed it so much.
I didn't get to do it. I wasn't going to make it up last week, you know?
I know. Yeah, So there's only one person in this episode who is in Shondaland.
It is Megan's foster mom.
Nope.
Fuck. Who is it?
It's the ankle guy.
Damn it. Should have seen that one coming.
Jasper is the name of the character. He's played by Jack Conley, and he is in two episodes of Station 19. Now, I'm going to say this. Maybe it's a spoiler, but it's also not if you were paying attention, but I'm sure you weren't. Eric Dane, who is Mark Sloan, is now a series regular. He was not billed as guest appearance or like guest starring. He was billed just like with Derek, Addison, Meredith, like with all those people.
In the entry credits.
I guess it's kind of a spoiler because like he's clearly going to be around for a minute. But it's also not really a spoiler because they just put him in there. So
no, that's good. I'm glad. I want to see like a
him naked all the time.
No, I was thinking, well, I guess if that's what it takes to see Addison naked, then fine. I give the people what they want. I'm not selfish with the naked people, and I'm not one of those people that thinks only women can be naked on TV. Let the guys be naked too. Let everyone just have their fill.
Free the nipple.
Yeah, free the nipple, free the wangs. I don't know exactly what capacity I want to see him in because I haven't gotten to the point where I want to see Addison and Mark together yet. I'm not quite there. I feel like maybe I'm close, but I don't really know what capacity I want him to be around in yet.
Well, we'll find out shortly.
Next week on Living in Shondaland.
So Bailey tells George they lost Megan and they got to find him. Meredith and Derek are talking about the patient and she's like, oh, am I going to get to scrub in on the next surgery or only if I'm on a date? And he's like, see you at 8. Meredith is also helping look for Megan. George is going on and on about superheroes and Alex is like, shut up or I'm going to punch you. And then Callie comes up really angry. She goes, O'Malley. And he goes, good luck with that. And just walks away. And I thought that was funny. It was a funny moment.
It was funny. The next scene, though, well, I guess the continuation of that scene.
Yeah.
Like, George just blurts out.
Yeah.
That he didn't want her to move in. Like,
it's super rushed. It's
like, dude.
The George storyline in this one is really, like, feels really weird to me. Like, I'm like, I understand they wanted to get to the point of him telling Callie that he's not ready. But the whole like storyline, I don't understand why he's so against the guy getting the ankle surgery. He's super weird about it. There's no resolution to that storyline. Like he told that guy and that guy left. And then he told Callie he didn't want her to live at the house. And that's like the end of it. We don't see it again.
He didn't even really tell the guy anything other than that the cadaver he's taking his ankle from was 2 years younger than him.
Yeah, it's super weird.
What revelation did that guy have? I don't get it.
I don't know. Because, like, that guy is healthy. He's like, a super athlete. So I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. It's a weird storyline. It's very rushed.
I hope that Callie breaks up with George for this.
Well, she says, she's like, I didn't want to move in. Like, I'm just staying there while I'm looking for somewhere. Like, I don't understand why you're freaking out because no one's fucking communicating. Meredith is looking for Megan, finds Addison crying in a closet. And she's like, can you just not be be near me for 5 seconds, please, because you're all over the place and I would love it if you weren't in my face. And Meredith was literally like, yeah, I get that. That's fine.
Yeah. She was like, weren't you just on floor 3? Like, what?
I'm trying to hide from you.
Yeah. It's so I didn't.
Yeah.
I good scene, but like, Meredith, go fuck yourself. Like, yeah, I get that. Okay, that's all you're going to say? This woman is just like, I need a minute without you in my life. And you're like, yeah, totally, I get that. Instead of,
I also need a minute without me in my life.
Yeah, like, I'm Meredith. I suck.
I'm the worst.
I don't know. I just feel so bad for Addison. Even if she is getting smushed, or her booty smushed, you know?
Yeah, she still has to deal with a divorce with someone that she works with, and a major factor in the divorce is another person that she works with. So no fun. So Alex finds Megan hiding under a gurney, and he's like, well, she says she doesn't want to have the surgery because she's afraid her foster parents will send her back. And Alex has a nice moment, and he's like, why would they send you back? You're a superhero. And we're going to do surgery on you.
Then he uses George's Green Lantern thing. Yeah.
Which what I'm would like, Green Lantern not... be without the ring?
I'm like, that girl does not know who Green Lantern is.
No.
There's no way that girl knows who Green Lantern is. Absolutely
not.
No,
in
way.
2007.
Nope. Derek is doing the post-op check on his patient with Christina. And like physically everything's fine. And then they're like, hey, what is this called? And it's a cup. And the guy's like, you know, I know what it is, but I can't tell you. And it's concerning. And then the wife is like freaking out. And she's like, what's my name? What's the baby's name? And he's like, I know it. I just like, don't, I can't, I don't know it. Which it would be like, very unsettling as the partner, I'm certain.
But he's conscious. He knows where he is. The dude just lost half his brain.
Yeah.
Cut the man some slack,
so
lady.
So Derek's like explaining to the wife, like, he knows who you are and he knows who the baby is. And he's like, he knows the emotional connection. He just like the brain, like one side of the brain is trying to tell the other side of the brain, like can make the two connect. And they're just not. But they will. Again, not much resolution. That's it. That's the end of that storyline. I don't feel like there's a lot of resolution there.
No, it was merely a vessel for Christina to be the onlooker and go, oh, shit, he's talking to the wife, but I'm hearing it. Right. Mm-hmm. That's all that storyline was for. It was a vessel patient. For Christina. Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So she thought the idea was to go buy some fucking raw chickens.
Listen, I love it. I love her interpretations. Alex and Bailey are doing the surgery on Megan, and Megan or Bailey has the whole thing of like, oh, people want a life without pain, but this is where you end up. Pain is there for a reason, which is, you know, she's relates back to the whole Izzy situation. Clearly, Izzy never went into the hospital. Derek and Meredith come home from their date, and Finn shows up. He's like, oh my god, you guys, so funny, I was just gonna bring you this ice cream, I was just gonna leave it here, I didn't know you'd be here, I'm so sorry. It's they're like little high school boys being annoying. So fun. So then Meredith is yelling, and she's like, this is not what I wanted when I wanted dating. I like took time to look nice, and I want someone to feel me up, and no one's trying to feel me up. No one's even looking at me. My fantasy is not two men looking at each other. So it's a funny scene. She's annoyed. Yeah. So she goes back into the house. Well, she takes the ice cream and goes in the house.
Naturally. And I've been wanting strawberry ice cream ever since.
Yeah. I could go for some ice cream right now.
Yeah. It's just interesting. She's like, I'm waxed. I'm plucked. I have a clean top on, and you two are looking at each other. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, they're fighting. You started this. You told them at the same time. You brought them to Joe's and said, hey, guys, battle it out and fucking do your shit over me.
Yeah.
And then now you're complaining that they're doing their shit over you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't have it both ways, Meredith.
That's a good point. I like it.
Thank you.
Then we go to the hotel. We see Addison checking in. Then we see Callie checking in. Then we see Richard checking in. Then we see Mark checking in. It's getting more intriguing with each person we see.
It was such. I was laughing while watching that scene. Because once they got to, it was Addison and Callie, and I was like, oh, the camera's still moving. And I was like, oh, shit, Weber, you really pissed off Adele, didn't you? And mm-hmm. then the camera kept moving, and I was like, ooh, what's happening next? And it was Mark, and he loves yes. fairies.
Yep, I have a thing for fairy boats. You know what? It's way cuter when Mark says it. I could it fucking is. Give a shit when Derek says it.
Yeah, I like that. Was just what a good scene. I was like yeah. giddy watching it. I was like, oh, this is funny, so writers. This is good.
I love it. So then we get the Christina taking a bunch of chickens home and really aggressively chopping them in half with a meat cleaver. And she's like, gives Burke a suture kit and she's like, fix them. I like it. That's supportive. She's being an active participant in his recovery, and I like it.
And that's how I know his hand is okay.
Okay, so we'll circle back. Let's finish this out, then we'll circle back. Alex goes out to Izzy. This is such a good little scene. It makes my heart hurt. It's so good, though. I love this little moment between the two of them. Again, I like that it's Alex because he had such a hard time with the Denny thing, and so it's really nice that he's like, not only moved past it, but is like trying to like still take care of her through it.
Yeah.
He's just he being was a like, good friend.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I wanted to feel sexual chemistry in that scene,
Yeah. No, it's just like a moment of friendship and yeah. kindness.
And it was very yeah. sweet. Cause he's like, where does it hurt? And she's like,
yeah,
everywhere. And I'm like,
yeah, fuck. When she closes like, her eyes and says everywhere, I'm like, ooh, that hurts me.
Like, can you imagine?
And then he just says, maybe
Michael
it hurts
or Jessica dying. Like, fuck.
No, I don't want to. Don't say that.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
It would hurt everywhere.
Literally.
So it's sad. But Izzy goes home and she's like, I didn't go in. And Meredith's like, that's okay. Maybe you'll go in tomorrow. You know, again, everyone's being supportive. You know, and you and I have the same question of like, why is everyone being supportive? But I still appreciate that everyone's being supportive because yeah. Izzy's, you know, it's a lot what she's dealing with. Yeah. So I understand the support side of it.
Yeah. It's one of those cases where we all love the what. We all love the what, which is the support. We love the support.
Yes.
We're just concerned why they're supportive. Yeah. She broke a law and killed a guy.
Yeah.
Inadvertently. I guess we all can say that the stroke
killed
the guy.
And she kind of got
a
lot of people involved as well.
Yeah. And like crossed a lot of ethical boundaries falling in love with a patient.
Yeah. And we're not like, yeah. it's not like a gray area. It's like she crossed the line so
yeah.
many
and
times.
And we're not judging, but she's in the wrong.
Yeah. I'm not judging, but she did make every worst possible choice she could make.
Yeah. We're not judging, but we do hate her.
Yeah, we're not judging, but she is the worst, other than Derek, who is
yeah.
the worst.
Yeah.
yeah. For many different reasons.
Yeah, he really, at this point for me, only skates by on his hair and his face. And even then, I guess I'm a little bit, I like him a little bit more now that him and Addison are finally done.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. It is nice.
And then we have the last scene where George was like, yeah, guys, so Callie moved out. I'm so relieved. He's not relieved.
Yeah, not. I'm so relieved that I'm a shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm so relieved that I forced my girlfriend to go sleep in a hotel because I don't know how to communicate. So yeah. relieved. Now hand me that ice cream.
Yeah, so then, yeah, they just all hang out and share the ice cream. It's the end of it. It's just a nice little friendship moment. So that's where it ends, this one. Okay, so let's circle back to your prediction on Burke's hand. You said one episode, two episodes. After this episode, what do you think the time frame on his hand being fine is?
I'm going to put 4 episodes. 4 episodes
okay,
from
so
now. He's okay. No, sorry. More specifically, 4 episodes from now, he will get his first surgery.
Okay. And his hand will be fine.
His hand will be fine.
Okay. Let me think. Other predictions. Do you have a Mark prediction you want to throw out?
With Mark, I don't have a prediction as much as I have like a desire. I want to see him get into a physical fist fight with Derek and then win. I don't know if that will happen at this point. I don't know what would cause it. Because Derek seems pretty good about the whole Addison thing. He's pretty much like, I would see him and Finn fighting before him and Mark fight.
Yeah.
But my desire is for a Mark and Derek fist fight of some sort. You know what?
Okay.
Fuck it. I predict that by the end of season 3, Derek and Mark will fist fight.
Okay.
Official prediction. Write it down. By the end of season 3. I'm not gonna pussyfoot around this. Going bold. By the end of season 3, they will fight. But it's gonna be about Callie.
Okay.
It's my official prediction. I went real bold.
Love it. I love it. Everything about it. Do you have a George and Callie prediction since we're on it?
They break up, and then George has to watch Derek and Mark fight over Callie. No, first off, Derek and Mark are not going to fight over Callie. Second off, Callie is going to break up with George before the end of the season. We're on episode 3. By episode 12, she will have broken up with George because he doesn't communicate.
It's true, he doesn't. So we'll see if she sticks around for all of the no communication or not. Okay. So what do you give this episode?
Wow. It's been so long. A number 1 is a med student. Mm-hmm. A number 2 is an intern.
Yes.
A number 3 is a resident. A 4 is a fellow. A 5 is attending.
Yes.
This one's just a resident for me. This is just a 2.
Yeah.
It's just an okay episode. It's fine. The best part of the whole episode was the end of the episode. Sorry, yeah, intern. I'm giving them a 2. Intern.
Okay, so you do give it a 2.
Yeah, 2. Intern.
I'm a vibe it at a 3. I'm a vibe it at a resident. You know, it's fine. It's there. It's filling in some rushed parts that I don't care for, but some good moments. I have to give it props because some of my favorite moments are Izzy moments, which says a lot for the episode since I don't like Izzy. It's also just a good Alex episode in general and a nice Addison episode. And also I love Mark Sloan. So, you know how I do.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. But yeah, I do love the hotel moment. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's the thing that would have made it up to a resident for me, got it up to a 3 is the ankle guy. That storyline makes no sense.
It's not resolved. I would have liked it if he had come back or if George was like, oh, I called him and apologized and he's here again or whatever. But there's no resolution.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I would like that. I'd be like, oh, dang. Not just good guy Alex. We got good guy George, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if like brain guy, if Derek could have been like, oh, I can just go back in and like poke these 2 things and it's fixed. But he's like, nah, we got to like teach him how to be a human again. He's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Fuck.
Also, do you want half the brain to eat it or like, can I have it? Right? Like, yeah, what are we doing this other half of brain?
So.
I think that's all I got. That's all I got for the episode. Feels good to be back.
It does. We're excited to be back. We should be back on our regular bullshit. Thanks for sticking around for it. Again, make sure you follow us on Instagram for updates in case anything happens and we're off an episode because we both have crazy things happening in our lives. We're trying to maintain regularity, but
yeah,
the world makes it difficult sometimes.
Maybe we do. Do you want to take an episode by yourself one week coming up? Like maybe the halfway point through the season, like where you just say some stupid shit for like 20 to 40 minutes the way I did, or like
I have never said stupid shit. Everything I say is brilliant.
I need you to practice, perfect. Though. I need you to practice saying stupid shit for me.
You just want me to be Carmen.
That's what the people want. I don't make the rules.
Well, maybe. Yeah, we'll think about it. It's less.
I don't know what it would be.
I know everything that happens.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Carmen is not allowed to listen to this episode.
Get on and be like, Carmen, don't fucking listen to this episode because I'm just going to go on a rant about everything that has yet to happen to you, but I hate or love.
Ooh. If you want that as a listener to know, well, no, you know what? Just you have to go through this journey with us. Fuck you. You don't get it. I take that off the table. Maybe we'll record it. And then in 7 years from now, when we get through the end of the show, you can go back and listen to it.
But yeah, thanks. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for sharing. If you have a minute to share us on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you may be, please do that. If you're listening on Spotify, please share it to your Instagram. If you're listening anywhere else, just tell everybody that you know that you're listening. Send it to your friends. Send it to your family. Tell everyone you know who likes Grey's Anatomy that this exists. Pretty please. If you have a second to leave a review or a rating, that's also super helpful. We're getting more listeners every day. We can track it all on our little platform, and it's really cool to see. So we thank you guys for doing that and for hanging around. If there's anything you want to hear or share, make sure you reach out to us. Our email is graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can also message on Instagram. Carmen doesn't see either of those, so you can just fill it with spoilers. So did you have something to add?
Yeah, just real quick. I want to shout out Australia. If you haven't looked at the rankings, so we've always had a really good listenership with Canada, Germany, and Malaysia. And recently, Australia has moved into the top 10 for countries.
Thanks, Australia.
That stream us. So thank you to anyone listening in Australia. Really appreciate you. Tell all your friends from down under and save a koala while you're at it, please. And that's what I have. Other than that, just like no spoilers. OK, guys, just like don't fucking do it. Don't spoil it. We love you.
Please.
Yeah. Please don't spoil it. And we'll see you all in the next one.